Welcome to the OneMed Learn podcast.
Hello and welcome back to another podcast from Manchester Medical School, and this is part three, discussing the journey of a doctor with a disability. And I'm here again with our two special guests, Georgia and Imran. I am Dr. Genevieve Shimwell. I am a GP and clinical lecturer at the university. And we're now talking about how the disability might impact post-university and during life as a doctor. Georgia, with qualification and graduation on the skyline for you, what are some of your fears about starting work as a doctor? Would you share these with us?
I think the workload is something that I'm a bit worried about. As an F1, I will be running around the hospital trying to get my jobs done, and I worry about overexerting myself and making sure people know that I need to take breaks. Mm. Because I think it's very easy to want to get everything done and go for it. So that's one of the things I'm worried about. Another thing is a bit further down the line. So if I do end up pursuing a career path in surgery, will I get adaptations? And, you know, when I have to have another replacement surgery, how will I handle the time off associated with that as well? So I think those are the main things on my mind. So I'd quite like to hear from you, Imran.
Yeah,
if you can give any insight.
So I have a bit of insight on the first part. So I was fortunate enough to do my junior doctor years at, I'm going to name drop, Aintree Hospital. So it's the first time I've ever been to this hospital. So I'd never been there as a student. And actually, the two people who were the leads for the foundation year doctors coming through were amazing. And they originally, we had meetings with them. They basically asked, you know, do I need anything? Is there any adaptations that I need? Is there any support that I need? Those kind of things. And they had those chats with me early on and just made me feel so welcome. And that was good. I agree. So I am obviously not the quickest. And obviously, if an emergency call goes out, obviously you have to get there in a time frame.
I forgot about that. In my first year, that was one of the things I was worried about. Yeah. I mentioned that it's in my letter on occupational health because I had a look at it. And I remember saying to him, oh my gosh, if I have to run, like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And he just went, you know, there's a whole team.
Yes, and that's the key thing. There is a team. The reality is someone will get there. And I think, there was no way I was going to, you know, Usain Bolt from one side of the Aintree hospital to the other. It's not happening. It's more like slug pace for me. It wasn't going to happen. But I got there. I did try my best to be as quick as possible. They were very supportive of it. They understood. I was fortunate enough not to need it. I kind of decided my own adaptations on the job. So, for example, we're doing a ward round. I would get a silver trolley and just use them as my crutches. So you just see me just basically pushing myself off and just floating across the ward on a silver trolley. Using it as
I guess now you could use, you know, the moving hive computer things.
Yes.
I don't think trolleys with loads of paper notes exist nowadays.
Computer on wheels.
Oh, God, yeah, I forgot about that.
Computer on wheels.
Yeah, gosh, that shows how much of a dinosaur I am. So there wasn't really any other. So, for example, doing cannulas and, you know, doing procedures, I'd always do them sitting down. Mm-hmm. We're fortunate enough that beds obviously go up and down so I can move it to the height that I need it. Yeah. Those kind of things, really. So I think for me, it was a lot of learning on the job what I couldn't and could not do. The Aintree Hospital were really supportive from that point of view. I'm kind of in the same boat as you in that I will probably at some point need surgery again. And I've been fortunate enough not to need it in my medical career. But I am worried of that day, of what will happen. And it does play on my mind a little bit because I am single income. That kind of things with two kids. So they're kind of little worries. I would imagine, you know, so I'm a GP. My GP are very supportive. So for example, the bed was I've recently had this job. So I got this post in August. So a permanent GP there, well, 2 days a week there. And the bed that I used was just didn't move, so it was stationary. And I'm like, obviously, if I'm doing examinations, I need the bed to be lower because I'm sitting down. So they've got a new bed in, so stuff like that, which it's nice. It's a nice touch that they're trying to accommodate these kind of things, really. Yeah. But yes, I do fear that, you know, just like yourself, and how that's going to be, how much time I'm going to need off, those kind of things are a fear for me as well. But I would like to think they would be supportive.
And is there anyone you think you can kind of get advice on that and speak to about that to help plan?
From DNA? From a GP point of view, I mean, you could. I mean, you always have sick leave and stuff like that. So I think I'm lucky that I have been a doctor since 2010, I think. So we've been in the NHS since then. So I guess from a sick pay point of view, it goes up each year. So I think by year five of working for the NHS, your sick pay is better than, say, in the first few years. Yeah. So I guess that the first few years will technically be a little bit of a worry. Hospital wise, occupational health is key. And obviously mentioning and having those discussions with them, I would say. But like I said, I've been fortunate enough not to need to have those conversations yet.
But maybe kind of forward planning, having a little look through the contract and what's included, what are you entitled to, or seeking advice from the BMA potentially might be helpful to give you kind of idea of how to plan for this going forward for you.
And I think one of the other things I wanted to ask you is, do you ever have days where you need to take a day off related to your disability? Because I worry about that, because if there's a day that I wake up and, you know, I am in a lot of pain, what do I do?
It is a worry, and I think my worry was that it would be flagged up, and I think that was my concern, so I just went in and dealt with it. And it shouldn't be like that, but that was just my mentality, that I'm worried that this is going to come back and bite me, and therefore, you know, or people will view me as less of a person as a doctor because I'm here with a disability. I've just, you know, if you listen to part one and part two, I've mentioned about how I've just wanted to fit in and not have the disability, or not people see me with a disability. I wanted to be basically like everyone else. So those people without a disability. So, and if I'm showing that vulnerability and or a sign of weakness is how I viewed it. And therefore, I just ploughed on.
Can I ask though, Imran, have you ever been given the impression that would validate that fear?
No, I haven't. I've never had that. That's just my own sort of mental battle that I have. To that people will, if I play the disabled card. Sorry, I air quoted there on a podcast, which doesn't make any sense. So if I play the disability card, then, you know, it might annoy colleagues and things like that. So, and therefore I'm damaging, that's how I see it. And that probably isn't the case. I think the reality is they probably will be really supportive. They would probably really be appreciative that I'm able to open up and say, this is what I can do or can't do. You know, I am struggling here, though, kind of being vulnerable, whereas I haven't been like that.
Interestingly, Imran, and part two, your take-home message was encouraging listeners who may have a disability to speak out and discuss your personal situation and how it might affect you. And I suppose that's something that could be taken forward now in working life as well as through medical school and training, isn't it? And you taking that own message on board personally.
I probably should I listen to my own advice.
So I think this is these really important kind of messages you're sharing with us today, and I think really empowering for our listeners to hear your experiences. Imran, do you want to share some of your experiences about working as a doctor then, please?
So it's always been an issue, I think, from working in hospitals. I was a lot fitter, so I was able to mobilize a lot better around hospitals. And I guess my main issue has come, so I'm a GP, and part of training I've had was to do GP placements. And the first GP placement I had was in year one of, so GPST1. So this would have been back in 2012, 2013. And part of our training, we had to basically video our consultations. And we would watch them back with our supervisor, who would then critique them. One of the things that happened on this video was that a patient openly asked me about my disability. So not prompted, not me saying, hey guys, I've got a disability. They've decided to initiate this conversation, and this was recorded on this video. So the GP supervisor was amazing. I just want to get that out there, that they picked up on this and they debriefed me on this, and basically said, how did you feel in that situation? And they could see that this was going to be a challenge that I had throughout my career. And they advised me that it's important to think of a response. So that was back in 2012, 2013. To this day, I have had this so many times in my career. And to this day, I do not have a good enough response. And what I mean by that is because every time it happens, I'm always taken back by it. And I think to myself, this is a medical issue that should stay between my close loved ones and myself and the doctors that are around me. So why is it that I am kind of, it's made the assumption that because I have a disability and I'm a doctor, that I should openly be sharing my confidential information. And I appreciate that a lot of the times it's not because people are being offensive or anything like that, and they are genuinely curious. However, it's not something that I should need to share or have this conversation about. It's up to me if I want to share this, and especially in a place of work where I'm not there as a patient, I am there as a doctor. And the surprising thing is, so I posed this idea to do this podcast back in, I think, about the September time. And like I said, I've got a new GP job, which I started in August. And I've moved from Liverpool to Warrington. And this has been so evident since moving to this area, where I found, for example, I had a conversation with one of the receptionists who asked me, oh, so Imran, what's your disability? I was kind of taken aback and I just blurted it out. And it was something which I kind of regret sort of saying it, because I didn't, it's not something I like to share. And I'll come to that in a second why. But she basically mentioned, oh yeah, because all the patients are asking. And my point was, well, she was saying, what should I tell the patients? And I was like, it's none of their business. I shouldn't have to share what my disability is because you want to break my confidentiality. Yeah. It makes no sense whatsoever. And I guess, obviously, I appreciate, you know, this is different to your experience, Georgia, because you're trying to, you know, get out there osteosarcoma. And it's really powerful that you send that message. And, you know, and there's a lot of people with disabilities who are championing their disability and raising awareness. But at the same time, there'd probably be a lot of people in a similar position to me that I have a very obvious physical disability. However, why am I being made to talk about it all the time? I don't want to talk about it all the time. It's a mental battle that I struggle with all the time, myself. And even the other, you know, people will make comments, patients are making comments, which they think are in jest, but hit me hard. And it's there that I'm always on the back foot. I always don't know how to respond. I've planned it so many times, but yet it still doesn't come out. And I still don't know how. And the problem you have is you say, I don't want to talk about it. You then spend the next minute or two, you know, for them apologizing because they think they've offended you. When the reality is, I don't have time to talk about this. I have 10-minute appointments. I'm not here for me. I'm here for you to deal with your problems as a doctor I'm not here for you to quiz me as a random person you've met. And even that random person, we shouldn't be having to discuss it.
That's
yeah.
really powerful.
Yeah. And I guess, obviously, I've grown up with my parents basically saying, you know, your personal problems are yourselves. And obviously, in a Muslim community, everyone is quite nosy where we've lived. And they talk a lot. And my parents didn't want that. They were private people in their culture, and they wanted to keep things private. And I guess that's how I've stayed. And you know, that's I'm fine with that. And I appreciate, obviously, you know, students have done it as well, where students have asked, you know, what's happened. And I think the problem we have now is because I'm on crutches, a lot of people think, oh, you've had an accident. So there's that confusion. And then when I'm saying, no, this is me from birth, it's they feel, oh, they need to pry a bit more. And I don't want them to pry a bit more. That's the end of the conversation for me.
Yeah.
It's not a discussion I want to have.
Would you say it doesn't define you? You are
I think
a doctor,
that's what,
you
yeah.
are a successful doctor, you're able to do your job, and you don't want it to define you.
So, yeah, and I guess that's the thing that, unfortunately for me, it stands out. So, you know, I know how well I've done. And, you know I might sound a bit big-headed here, and I appreciate that. I have achieved so much, and I know I gain a lot of respect because I have a disability, I'm a doctor, and I'm helping people. And I get that. And I've heard sort of, you know, consultants talking to patients where, you know, just when I was at Aintree doing A&E, one of the consultants basically had a, you know, basically mentioned to a patient, we've got a doctor there who's got a disability, he's doing so well. And obviously, you know, trying to relate that to patients. So I know I'm earning a lot of respect. However, I don't want to be Imran with a disability. I want to be Imran because I'm hilarious or whatever it is. you know, but unfortunately, I am Imran with a disability, and that's how I'm known, unfortunately. So, yeah, it's difficult because, and obviously colleagues are prying as well. And I think that's just because they feel you're a doctor, you'll be open to these kind of things. But, it's not something that I want to talk about because, yes, it's something I don't feel comfortable with. But yet I'm still having to do it. And the reality is, until I finish as a doctor or probably anywhere, or, you know, working at the university, I'll probably still have these conversations.
Yeah. I think it's so important you're being able to put this message across because, as you said before, people questioning, prying, it's mostly from not a place of malintent, wanting to cause upset, is it?
Yeah.
It's curiosity, but it's about you having your boundaries and you being respected for having to keep those boundaries and to keep your information to yourself.
Yeah, and it is a little bit that expectation because they think, right, he's a doctor, so he'll want to educate and therefore he'll be happy to share those things.
Yeah.
But I'm not there for that.
No. It's interesting. I've never had to, like, before speaking to you, I've never had to think of that before because I think I've always felt obliged to explain why I need a seat or why I need to sit down.
Yeah.
I feel like the need to explain to them, you know, and I guess that's the flip side of having something that's a bit more hidden.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to validate. I'm like, this is why I'm being rude and not letting the consultant sit down on the ward round, you know? So, and I've never actually considered just saying, I have a disability. Would you mind if I sit down?
Yeah. Because that should be the end of the conversation.
It's an interesting perspective because I think, I always end up saying, oh, I've got this replacement. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're so young. How did that happen?
Yeah.
And then I've got to be like, oh, well, when I was 15 years old, going back to that sentence again. So it's like, you know, there's two sides of it, right? So I feel very fortunate that, I guess, on the get-go, if you see me walking down the street, people can make a perception of me without knowing I've got a disability.
Yeah.
But then I have to explain it so that they know what to expect as well.
But that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah,
you shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to, because that's your information
that
should be between you, your loved ones, and, you know, your doctors.
Yeah. I've never had to think about that before, so thank you. It's really food for thought.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess that's the main thing from a work point of view is that kind of sort of thinking about that side of things. And then obviously, like I said, the colleague side, it's a case of you know, they're wanting you to share more. And I remember, and the problem I have is there's other bits that I'm having to deal with as well. And so if I'm telling them about my disability, then a lot of people in the medical field might know more and they want to pry more. And they're questions that I'm not comfortable with sharing. Mm. So it's going down a slippery road, really. Yeah. And I guess it's what's comfortable for everyone. So, yes, some people want to, like we mentioned, some people need want to talk about it and they feel like, you know, this is a good message to educate someone. But yeah. I'm not in a need to educate people about my condition.
Absolutely.
Because my condition is for me. And then there's lots of other people who are educating about my condition.
Yeah. Thank you guys for sharing your experiences. I think there's a lot of powerful messages being put across there. Are there any take-home kind of points that you want to share with the audience before we wrap up for today?
I guess, obviously, it's one, knowing your limitations. So there's positive and negatives to it. So I think, yes, it's saying that, yes, I have a disability. I don't need to share more than that. But at times, it's making sure you're aware that there are people there that are wanting to support you. Mm. Medicine is a great career to be in. And as a disability, I'm very fortunate to be in a career and I really enjoy it as a GP. I also work for the University of Manchester and, you know, I have, career-wise, I have a great life. So it's being kind of vulnerable enough to say, I have a disability, I may need these supports, and not kind of thinking, actually, I can do this by myself. And you don't need to do it by yourself. It's not making you any less of a person. It's more to help you achieve being the best doctor you can be.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Imran. Thank you guys so much for coming today and for sharing your experiences. And that concludes part 3.
Thank you for having us.
Of our podcast.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye. Take care. Bye.